Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. It is Tuesday, June 13th, 2023. Welcome in to hour two of the big program here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us. Coming up at 2:30, at the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Matt Salomon, who is from Cracked.com, national satire publication, comedy, and also formerly of The Onion, also another great publication. Started here in Madison, by the way, and going to be talking about how hard is it to write satire and humor in an era where truth is just stranger than fiction. I mean, it's difficult to write things that are weirder than things that are actually going on. So we'll talk to Matt Salomon about that at the bottom of the hour. But here we are on a Tuesday at 2 o'clock in the time slot, in the time zone. We bring on the guy who owns this time zone, Mr. Luke Mather.
What's going on here? I thought I was coming in. Oh, that's right. The schedule changed. My bad, Todd. I hate to interrupt your studio time. My apologies.
Well, here's the deal. I told the full story last hour. I won't do the whole thing. But I was at the Democratic Wisconsin Convention, Democratic Party State Convention up in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. We had a little table set up, and we were just telling people about civic media. And this woman comes up to me and says, what do you do? I said, I'm on the air. And she says, well, what time are you on? And I said, between 1 and 3. And she looks at me with this face, and she goes, you're the one who knocked off Dueling Tangents. And I'm like, I had
yes,
nothing
yes, to do. Yes, he was. It was all him. He is the cult. No. None of that at all.
Nothing to do with it.
No, that is pretty comical. I mean, not your fault one bit. We're very excited.
People's roles are just changing.
Yeah, we're very excited about the refresh lineup that Civic Media is offering our listeners across the state of Wisconsin and providing even more local, relevant to their community programming.
Yeah.
And in that shuffle, Dueling Tangents has gone away. But Will, Walter, and I are having a lot of fun in the 12 o'clock hour with Town Call. We've had some excellent conversations, excellent callers. It's been a lot of fun so far in these first couple of editions of Town Call. And I'm more than happy to join you here on a Tuesday in my old time slot to relive some tangents talk about what's going on here in Wisconsin in civic media.
2 o'clock will always be tangent time.
However, Luke, do you think it would make you and our listeners feel better if maybe at 2:15 we come in with a little bit of...
Oh, sure. There you go. From the ashes.
You could have just saved it. You could have just saved it, Aaron. You didn't even have to tell me. That would have been great.
Yeah, I should have.
That's okay. That's okay.
All right. We'll do that a little bit later. Sure. Why not?
Why not? Per your last point, though, Todd, I think it's incredibly hard to write satire right now.
Right?
The Onion, though, left satire for a hot second and put an amicus brief before the Supreme Court. They lost that case was lost, though, by the dog toy manufacturer that was impersonating a Jack Daniels bottle.
That was ridiculous.
I'm upset about that.
That brief was incredibly written. Like,
really? I didn't see it.
You have to go back and see. I want to say it was The Onion as a whole. Like,
tell people what it's about. In case you did hear, aren't familiar, Luke will explain it.
Yes. So this last session, the U.S. Supreme Court heard a case arguing about what was parody and satire and what was infringement on copyright. And it was a dog squeak toy that instead of Jack Daniels, it was, I can't recall. It had dog-related puns on it, and it was joking about pee, like dog pee and dog slobber, things like that, instead of the standard Jack Daniels label. And so it went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and in the defense of the satire, in defense of the parody that the toy was doing, the editors over at The Onion put in a friend of the court brief, or an amicus brief, talking about how it is, or why it's so important to have satire protected under the First Amendment. And just if you haven't had the chance to read it, I think it's terrific. Brian and I had a lot of fun on the air that day of Dueling Tangents when we read from that brief, because it does just talk about how there is a fine line between talking about the extremes and doing parody and satire and not copyright infringement. But you have to be able to know where those two are. And this one clearly seemed to be parody and, yeah. and satire, and the U.S. Supreme Court actually ruled in favor of Jack Daniels and said, no, it's an infringement, and so because, kind of blurring that line.
As it turns out, there is a large case or 10 of Jack Daniels in the basement of Justice Clarence Thomas's basement. We won't go down that, man. This is a personal point of peeviness for Luke. Is just he
the Clarence, Supreme Court is on my
Supreme
mind often.
Supreme Court will irk him. All you guys often, triggering
very often,
and rightly so, quite frankly.
I mean, it's one of those aspects of our federal government that I think got to skate under the wire for a really, really, really long time. Yeah. And now some of those chickens are coming home to roost. We're finding out a lot about the connections and the different storylines that are at play when it comes to our nation's highest judicial body.
We'll talk to Luke Mathers when we come back about the tangents he's taking here at Civic Media. You can hear him more often now on the news, as a matter of fact, and also over the noon hour on Town Call with William Walter. We'll come back and we'll talk about that a little bit. Also get his take on the Republican Party of Wisconsin, throwing a little, you know, word-infused Molotov cocktail at the Civic Media Studios. We'll find out what Lukester thinks of that. And also, the Denver Golden Nuggets are the NBA champions for their first time in their history.
First time, or sixth time now that a foreign-born individual outside of the 50 United States won finals MVP as well. Nikola Jokic last night.
As Johnny Carson once said, I did not know that.
Yeah.
So there you go. All these kind of facts and more. Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Come on back. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wait a minute here.
Something's happening. I can't control it.
Wumpus time is over.
Oh, you're playing the whole opener. I thought you were just playing the song.
Did you hear that, Brian?
There's large men in the studio. There's bodyguards.
I thought you were just going to play the isolated song, Aaron. That's too funny. Here you go. You got the whole opener.
Welcome to Dueling Tangents. No, I'm not even sure what that means.
It's all crossover. No, this is the Todd Alba Show. And
Up
I'm
North News
you.
And Pat Quitelow. And welcome to Wisconsin, everybody. Whatever. I don't know.
We do need to get all the hosts.
Welcome to the state of Wisconsin Sense.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Last time I checked, this hour was still occupied by us. This is the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. But it was Dueling Tangents
previously
for so very long, and we are always honored on a Tuesday to have the former host of Dueling Tangents, the co-host, Mr. Luke Mathers, with us, the current co-host of Town Call with William Walter every afternoon from 12:15 until 1 o'clock. And also, Mr. Luke, you are in a new role as well working with our news department and giving us the 8 o'clock news.
Yeah, I get to anchor the 8 a.m. news 3-minute block for Civic Media Network News. I'm very, very thrilled to join Terry Bell, our news director here at Civic Media, and the entire Civic Media news team in delivering that news. And it's been a very exciting last couple of days, and I'm thrilled to be a part of that aspect of what we're doing here as a growing radio network.
Yeah, it's great. And also, you still are the executive producer, working with all of our producers across the show. You have a lot of influence here, a lot of jobs, wear a lot of hats. And perhaps most importantly to our listeners, you are the keeper of the Milwaukee Brewers baseball tickets that we continue to give away all season long, despite the fact the Brew Crew has run into some tough times here in the last few games.
Joey Weimer was like floating the team for a little while last week. He was almost the entire offense, and then his bat got a little quiet over the weekend against the worst team in baseball, which is important to point out. But the Oakland A's then sweeping the Crew over the weekend. That was not easy to watch. There was a couple of close games there that they made them interesting at the end. But the offensive bats for the Brewers have been unfortunately quiet on far too many occasions in recent games. It's one of those things. I mean, it's a long season. Right. I think there's plenty of time to right the ship. But it'll be interesting to see how that happens. We got to see some better contributions from, I think, up and down the roster. It's not just one or two players. And really, the bullpen. There was a collapse. I forget what night it was, but they were up, and then they all of a sudden they gave three or four or five runs up towards the end of the game, and it was like, come on, guys, what are you doing? Like, just throw strikes. Come on.
Yeah. But I have confidence that they'll right the ship, as you said. Still a lot of season left.
Yeah.
One of the great parts about baseball.
A lot of fun going to the games, too, so you absolutely want to listen to Civic Media all summer long for that opportunity to win some tickets. We're going to be giving away tickets to this upcoming weekend series. They're on the road right now up in Minnesota, taking on the Twins today and tomorrow. Interesting week, though, for them. They got 2 days off. They had yesterday off. They're going to have Thursday off, and then we host the Pittsburgh Pirates coming up this weekend.
Very good.
So chance to win some tickets to that series. You're going to want to listen to your favorite Civic Media programming all week long for that opportunity to win. Todd Alba Show, The Devil's Advocates, As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be giving away all of those tickets this week still. So.
And I think we've talked about it. Mr. Zomers, I've talked about it. Regardless, I mean, you always want a good game, and many of them have been this year. But even if the game turns out not to be the way you want it to go, what better place to just take a couple of friends or family members and chill and enjoy the beautiful lodge seats, club level seats, padded seats. You can look into the Brewers dugout. They're on the third base side. Great view of the field. A great opportunity just to chill and have some family and friend time.
Yeah, no, it's a terrific opportunity. We're thrilled to be able to offer it to our Civic listeners, and it's been a very exciting partnership that we've had with the Milwaukee Brewers so far this season. I look forward to continuing that partnership throughout the year.
And you can listen to Milwaukee Brewers Baseball all season long on our Brewers affiliate, WISS, the Big 1100 on the AM side at Oshkosh, and as Oshkosh Air Support, and also in the southwest part of the state, my home station, WRCE, AM 1450 and FM 107.7 in Richland Center, news from the center.
Were you impersonating a Euchre there for a second?
Back in high school, when I'd eat my Chicken McNuggets and Shamrock Shake and engineer the Brewers game, you'd kind of like listen and you'd try to see it, you know.
If you could get the cadence down.
Yeah, it was, hello, everybody. This, the Milwaukee, the key one was going to network breaks, You're listening to the Milwaukee, you're listening to baseball on the Milwaukee Brewers Radio Network.
Oh, yeah, that's a good cadence sound right there.
Yeah. I had nothing better to do.
There you go. You were engineering the station's programming.
Because we didn't have these, I hold up my cell phone. You actually had to, entertain yourself.
Yeah, and I do his my favorite Euchre impersonation, though, still is from Major League, and just a bit outside. And it's just, completely out of the zone. And
you know what I did actually rip off was his – you're probably too young. His play bar is a color commentator for a long time was the great Pat Hughes, who is now the voice of the Chicago Cubs down in Chicago. And Hughes would do the pregame show. And when I was calling Pioneer Sports down at UW-Platteville, I had a great play-by-play partner, was fantastic, Kevin O'Connor. And I would introduce him right before Pioneer basketball games. And so Pat Hughes would introduce Euchre right before he'd come on and say, and now here to give you the play-by-play of the Milwaukee Brewers, once again, here is Bob Euchre. And so I would say, and now here the voice of the Pioneers, once again, here is Kevin O'Connor. I ripped it clean off. Just not original at all.
Not even in the credits, credits roll just for the ripped the it show. Off. we're thrilled to have two of our Civic Media stations a part of that Brewers Radio Network, and we love the fact that we have that opportunity to have listeners tune into the crew right here on Civic Media.
All right, let's get into the meat and potatoes here for a second. The Republican Party of Wisconsin, my former party, I left it in 2011 after they decided that voter rights didn't matter and attacked constitutional rights. And I said, thank you very much. I'm out of here after 30 years. But my old party, the Republicans, sent out a press release or a fundraising email attacking Civic Media, attacking our CEO and owner, Sage Weil, and accused us of starting up a liberal talk radio network and silencing the voice of conservatives, in particular Fox News. But the facts, Mr. Mathers, say something quite different.
Yeah, it was a little surprising to me to get the heads up that email was going out. I think it indicates a couple of different things. I think it's interesting that... in the first place, that this is the approach that the state Republican Party, I guess, wants to take to a growing radio network that reaches a large number of Wisconsinites, that they're going to kind of write off the network that we have built here at Civic Media and portray us in a light that I don't think is accurate in describing what we're doing here, providing community-based radio for communities across the state of Wisconsin. And so I was a little caught off guard, Todd. I was surprised when I learned of this fundraising email. It seems like there's kind of one note that Republicans here in Wisconsin like to hit, and of late, it's they think that they've lost elections because they were stolen. And that was the sentiment that was in the fundraising email that the Republican Party of Wisconsin sent out attacking civic media yesterday. And I think it's, if your only argument is that differing ideas, differing opportunities for Wisconsinites to tune into programming that's has been missing in a lot of these areas of the state, in my opinion, it's been missing. And there's been kind of a news desert for a lot of these communities across Wisconsin, that if somebody else comes to town and starts playing a different tune, that you're just automatically saying, well, oh, they're outside individual. I'm born and raised Wisconsinite. Todd, you yourself born and raised Wisconsinite. There's a lot of us here at Civic Media that are just looking to be able to work for a radio network that is offering something that's been missing in the state. And to say that we're just this giant organization that's trying to silence conservative voices, I think is a disservice, and it's honestly misinformation.
You've been here since the beginning. Look, I've been here since, essentially the 1st of November of last year. You've been here since the inception of Civic Media. Have you ever been given a directive by ownership that there's a certain political agenda you have to advance?
No, not once. And to believe that as somebody that's been in the as you note, the room helping create what has now become Civic Media, I think it's ludicrous that anybody would paint it in any picture like that, because it's the exact opposite. We want a radio network that is for the communities of Wisconsin and that is reflective. Like, what WRCO, WRCE, what WFHR and WIRI, these community-centered stations in Richland Center and Wisconsin Rapids, that's what we're looking to bring to these other communities that Civic Media is now broadcasting to. We want to be able to be a source of information for news, for entertaining commentary, for local sports, all the way up to professional sports. We want to be those radio stations, because for far too long, corporations have come in, not just radio stations here in Wisconsin, but around the nation, and removed all of the local aspects. They went bare bones. They whittled it down to just the smallest operating costs that they needed to put into it so that they can pump in programming from New York or other places around. I forget wherever Rush Limbaugh was pumping in from, but that's what a lot of conservative news talk stations did. They went bare bones. They took national programming and they pumped in this programming to run ads in it. And we've seen a lopsided aspect of talk radio and radio as a whole here in Wisconsin, and Civic Media is really excited to be able to offer something that's different.
Here's the barometer for me, Luke. Here's the thing that people listening to us want to know what the real agenda here is. Think about stations that do offer conservative talk radio. If you tune into any of those, and they're all over Wisconsin, you're not going to hear a dissenting voice. You're not going to hear a host or a program that's from the middle or the left part of the spectrum. You tune into Civic Media, and here's what Republicans do, as someone who used to be on that side, a partisan side. They take the small grain of truth, and they exaggerate it, and they build off the lies of the small piece of truth. And Civic Media has been transparent from day one. Our owner, majority owner, Sage Weil, is a Democratic donor. He's said that up front since day one. You used to work for a Democrat. I used to work for a Republican. And that's where things the Republican Party doesn't want to talk about. That, yes, there are hosts on this network, particularly at 4 o'clock, that take a more liberal side of things, more progressive side. We don't shy away from that.
One of those co-hosts in the 4 to 6 p.m. hour used to be a very libertarian-minded individual that voted for former Governor Scott Walker.
Dom Selvia has said on the air several times, look, I voted for Walker in the recall.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was a Republican for 30 years. Joel Clefish, who is on this network with the name of the program.
Raisin Wisco.
Thank you. Raisin Wisco. Old man COVID brain there. Sorry about that, Joel. Joel Clefish, who is raised in Wisco, a longtime Republican, former state representative.
Republican state representative, yeah.
So there are differing voices on this network. Luke Mathers, we appreciate you being here Tuesday Tangents with Luke. We'll see you next week, my friend.
Take it easy, Todd.
Always great to see him. No better person to go on a tangent with than Luke Mathers every Tuesday at 2 o'clock.
Too kind.
His time slot. Back with Mr. Solomon after this.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed. Ball four. Ball eight. Low end.
Welcome back to the Telleball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 2:33 on the time and temperature sign. Welcome back to the show. Glad to have you along with us on a Tuesday, June 13th, 2023. Telleball, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. What is it like to try to write satire, try to write humor in this day and age when oftentimes looking at the headlines, particularly on the political side, truth really is stranger than fiction. We turn to our next guest, Matt Solomon, cracked comedy columnist. How's that for alliteration? And also a former Onion contributing writer. Matt, welcome to the program. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. We wanted to have you on just for a couple of different reasons, but a little bit about yourself, first of all, before we get into your writing. Where are you from? Where did you grow up? And how did you get into the writing scene?
Wow. I'm from Peoria, Illinois. I've been in Madison, Wisconsin for many years. I've always made a living as a writer, but while I was doing some more kind of corporate writing work, I was involved in improvisational comedy in Madison for many years, in sketch comedy for many years, and at some point, being in Madison, which was the home of the Onion, I was able to find a way into becoming a contributing joke writer for the Onion. Mm.
Was that something that, I always like to ask people, how did you get into it? Because I think a lot of people, whether they're listening or they have kids that are interested in writing, because everybody, a lot of people, you go through life, oh, I'd like to do comedy, or I'd like to be a writer, I'd like to be on TV, I'd like to be on the radio. And a lot of people don't understand the work that it takes to get into it. So what did you do to kind of hone your skill to be good enough to get picked up?
Right. You know, I think I did everything I could think of out of college. And this is a number of years ago now. I would find newsletters and websites that would advertise, for example, for comedians looking for jokes. Mm-hmm. And I would write jokes and send them off. And, you know, I don't think they were especially good at the time, but just the exercise of doing it honed your skills. Back in the 90s, I wrote a lot of speculative comedy scripts that got me into an apprenticeship at Warner Brothers comedy writing program that they had in place at the time to recruit young writers. Mm-hmm. I wrote a Seinfeld spec script.
Really?
And that got me through a first round. I had this, and then I submitted a Simpsons spec script to get to a finalist program, to get through a finalist round.
Sure.
I was one of six writers from around the country that was chosen to be put through my paces as what they did was basically over the course of about 13 weeks, they put you through a program of what it was like to be on staff on a 1990s situation comedy. So wow. That was great training. Mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily want to move to Los Angeles, but it was really good comedy writing training. It was probably around that time that I started contributing to The Onion and other funny publications.
See, I think the journey is what fascinates me the most, Matt, because, you know, it's great that people make it, right? But I think the story behind the journey to get there, to me, is the most fascinating part.
Yeah, you know, I used to go to high schools and talk to young people who were interested in going into writing, or I was also involved in video production for a long time. Mm-hmm. And the advice I'd give was just do everything you can, do it for free, do it because you love it. And if nobody, like, you had a day job doing something else, this is what you would do for fun anyway. Mm-hmm. And you will inevitably get better. You will inevitably meet people who may not be in a position to help you today, but may be in a position to help you tomorrow, or vice versa. And just give yourself as many opportunities to have something hit as possible. So it's throwing a lot of darts at the board, and, you know, odds are one of them is going to hit the bullseye if you throw a lot of them.
I think it's interesting. You say do it for free. I'm going to sound like an old man for a second. I guess to some people I am, 53 years old. But I think there is kind of this sense of entitlement amongst a younger generation, not all, but some, that, you know, I want to get paid right away for everything. I don't want to do anything for free. Do you find that with a younger generation in the writing profession, or are people in the craft and the arts still willing to practice and do things for free to get the experience?
I don't know. I see a lot of people on TikTok and a lot of people on YouTube who are creating content and trying, you know, in an effort to, you know, gain followers or to build a brand or to, you know, just let people know that they exist. That's essentially what I'm talking about. I mean, right. They may feel like, maybe that doesn't feel like you're doing it for free because you're doing it for yourself, but it's the same kind of thing that I'm talking about, which is, doing the work and then putting it out into the world for people to react to. And I think when you're starting out, it's pretty difficult to get somebody to pay you for something that you haven't proven yourself at yet. So I, you know, all of those, you know, a funny Twitter account, if Twitter is going to be around much longer, or a funny TikTok account, or a funny, you know, a funny YouTube channel is a great way to, you know, and those things can be monetized over time.
Sure.
So I'm not saying don't get paid.
Right.
But I'm saying that's not, you know, that's in the beginning. It's, I would say, you know, do stuff to get paid, but also do stuff because you love it. There's opportunity, you know, and the opportunities to get paid will come from those things.
Speaking of getting paid, there is a strike going on right now in America, the Writers Guild of America on strike. And a lot of this, you know, whether it's movies or situational comedies or late night shows or whatever, a lot of this revolves, as I understand it, Matt, around, you know, whether AI is going to, yep, some, you know, basically, you know, can you take someone's work, a real person's work, feed it into a computer, and the computer learns from a real person, and is that writer going to get paid for it? Am I off base, or is that more or less one of the main sticking points right now?
It is one of the main sticking points, as I understand it. I think, you know, the funny thing is, I don't think the negotiating crew for the Writers Guild thought that this was going to be a main sticking point.
Yeah.
I think they thought, like, hey, shows should be written by people. Let's just agree on that. And they thought that would be an easy one for the movie producers and studios to sign off on. It turns out that it is not. Mm. I definitely have played, and I've written some articles where I've used AI to write jokes just to see how it does.
How does it turn out?
It's not very good. Or at least not yet. You know, here's the thing. It's very good. It's actually very good. It can give you a pretty reasonable punchline, but it is very much a regurgitation of tropey punchlines.
Right.
It is doing exactly what you said. It's taking material that already exists and kind of rearranging it and repurposing it to deliver material that is passable, but is often not, sometimes it's nonsensical. It's almost always uninspired. It's you know, if you were, it's what you would imagine a really hacky Vegas stereotypical stand-up comedian might do, you know,
kind of a lounge act.
Yeah, you know, but the scary part of it is it can write jokes, and right. It's been with us for what, 4 or 5 months right. now, so I think the speed at which it's learning, I wouldn't put it past AI to be able to write passable jokes in the future.
That's just going to have to... scary to me. It really is. Because yeah, I'm a big believer in creativity. I'm a big believer in authenticity. And to me, I don't know how you get the nuance of storytelling and writing from a computer. It's just beyond my imagination.
I think that's ultimately what I think everybody hopes that audiences are going to reject, mm-hmm. is that you might be able to get words that make sense in something that we recognize as a joke form, but it will not have the spontaneity, it will not have the authenticity, it will not have the originality of the most popular comedians that we love because they are original, authentic voices.
For some people that listeners that may not have heard, and we're talking with Matt Solomon, who is with Cracked.com, columnist and also former Onion contributing writer. Matt, for those who have not heard, tell us about Cracked, where they can find it, and how you got involved.
Well, Cracked.com, you've already said it. That's where people can find it. Cracked is really interesting in that when I was growing up, Cracked was a humor magazine mm-hmm. that was very much like Mad Magazine, for people who are old enough to remember that. There was a whole genre of these mad, cracked, crazy, sick, any word that meant, you know, a little bit demented was probably
off.
Had a humor magazine
yeah.
Attached to it. I believe in the 2000s, it became repurposed as a general, as a general knowledge website that had a really funny point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 2 or 3 years, since I've gotten involved, we've really been putting an emphasis on writing about comedy in the way that, like, say, Rolling Stone writes about music or ESPN writes about sports, because we think there's a lot, we know that there's a lot of people who are interested in funny movies, funny mm-hmm. TV shows, comedians, stand-up, improv, and we're trying to give it its just attention.
So in today's world, where you got Trump and the headline, I mean, just taking his Twitter feed or taking stuff that he said when he's president or on a daily basis, I mean, is it difficult to write good satire, good humor, when you have to almost outdo reality?
Trump is the hardest thing I've ever had to write about.
Why?
As a comedy writer, because whatever you could, I mean, so much of comedy writing is exaggeration. It's you take a reality and then you stretch it to its satirical, you know, as far as you can go to make an exaggerated point. There was nothing that you could write about. Well, you'd write a joke about Donald Trump, and the next day what he did was so much more outrageous
right.
than the outrageous exaggeration you thought you were writing the day before. I found him very, very difficult to satirize. I actually did an interview last week with a stand-up comic named Nimesh Patel, who was a writer for Saturday Night Live in 2016. He wrote for Weekend Update for Michael Che. Mm-hmm. And he was lamenting this exact same thing to me. He said it was like trying to drink from a fire hose. When they would be trying to write jokes during the week, like, there was just such a torrent of outrageous behavior that was coming from Washington that they could not keep up, it was so difficult to satirize because it was so unbelievable that there was no joke that was crazier than what was actually happening. It was yeah, this guy is like, it was just a very challenging year for them in terms of how do we deal with this guy.
30 seconds before the first break here, who is the easiest subject or person you ever had to satirize or write about?
Oh, geez.
Anybody were just like, you know, this is just like shooting ducks or in a barrel or whatever.
You know, it's funny. I feel like when I was contributing to The Onion, I do feel like when Biden was vice president, there was
really kind of okay.
persona that was created,
vice president
was created around him. And, you know, just as a guy who's got kind of...
Stay tuned, Matt. Hold that thought. We'll be back with him on the other side. 1 second after this.
Yep.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 2:50. That is 10 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock, 10 minutes before Matt Flynn Direct. Great program, great host, great time, always informative. Go right to the lines. Lines are always open. Matt Flynn Direct coming up just after the news at 3 o'clock. He will update you on, speaking of, former President Donald Trump indicted. Was under arrest, pled not guilty to all 37 charges. By all accounts and all reporting this afternoon, Matt Flynn will update you on the latest on the Trump indictment coming up next hour. Stay tuned for that. Right now, we are talking to Matt Solomon from Cracked.com, a comedy columnist and former Onion contributing writer. And appreciate his time with us today. Before the break, Matt, you were saying that Trump was the hardest people to write satire about, but Joe Biden, when he was vice president, one of the easiest targets, is that right?
Well, I just think The Onion did a really good job of honing in on a persona for him. I'm looking at an article from 2009, and the headline was, "Shirtless Biden washes Trans Am in White House driveway." And it's got a picture of Joe in shorts and sandals and no shirt. He's waxing up his Pontiac Trans Am, giving it a good scrub down. And I think, like, kind of once this persona of a guy that just like sunglasses and muscle cars and drinking beer in the driveway, it just became a very funny, very easy thing to kind of clue. I think because he was not a very dynamic personality, you know, you could impose this, this comic persona on him that was funny because it didn't quite fit on the one hand. On the other hand, it made perfect sense.
Yeah, because every once in a while, the famous line, you know, this is a big effing deal to Obama when he actually used the word. And it would just stuff like that would just come out of him and it'd just be hilarious on its own. And then, like you say, easy to plug right. that in along the way.
Right.
I think it's great.
Yep.
Kind of looking back over your time, both at Cracked and at The Onion, what are a couple of your favorite pieces that you wrote about or that you've really enjoyed?
You know, I just we just published something last week that I talked to a couple of, I guess, comedy historians about, and it was really interesting to me to try to identify the 25 most influential comedy specials of all time.
That's great.
And what was interesting to me about that was there's a lot of things that might make a comedy special influential. It might be because, you know, you're Richard Pryor in 1978, and there's this generation of comedians that are watching this as kids, and they all, you know, there's probably 10 comics that might point to that. I watched that and decided I wanted to become a stand-up comic. Mm-hmm. But there are other specials as well. You know, one of my favorite ones, because I wouldn't have thought of it before we started it, was something that Red Fox and Andrew Dice Clay did in 1984 called Dirty, Dirty Jokes, hosted by Red Fox from Sanford and Son. The reason it was influential, first of all, it's just a bunch of winky,
right,
jokes that aren't really necessarily that dirty. They're more suggestive than they are they're risque jokes. Mm. But what was influential about this particular special was that It didn't appear on HBO or Showtime, or it was sold directly to consumers via a new format called VHS. And they made a mint.
Really?
They made a mint because, you know, this is even the kind of thing, like, you know, in the early days of the mom and pop video stores, you might be a little embarrassed to walk up to the nice lady behind the counter and hand her dirty jokes to rent, but you know you might have no problem spending $9.99 to order it on, you know, to have it sent to your house. And it really did show a lot of comedians and a lot of people like, oh, we can do. There's a lot of things that we don't need all of these gatekeepers. We can go direct to consumers with stuff. So it was very influential just in terms of like marketing and how you get comedy to the people. And also that you didn't have to worry about, you know, even HBO and Showtime had censors.
Right.
You know, if you're doing it yourself, you decide what gets to go in. So it was very empowering for a lot of those 1980s comedians.
I mean, really, it was streaming before streaming was cool or existed, right? An analog version of streaming, direct to consumer.
Yeah, there's a number of, you know, prior to streaming, there was a special called The Comedians of Comedy that starred Patton Oswalt and some other comics that was in 2006. That was also Netflix, but it was pre-streaming Netflix, where when they were still sending the DVDs to your house in red envelopes. That was the first one that right. Netflix ever got their money behind. And then Louis C.K., regardless of what you think about him today, in 2011, he put up his own comedy special on his own website. You couldn't stream it because the technology wasn't good enough, but for $5, you could download it. He put a special up, and then he had $1 million in his PayPal account in about a week.
Wow.
At $5 a pop.
Wow.
You know, there's lots of little innovations along the way in the history of recorded comedy where people have kind of found ways to get their laughs out to the masses in ways that you know, took advantage of whatever the latest technology was.
Matt Solomon, about 2 minutes left. We'll have to have you back if you'd be so very kind, because we just had a listener text us here from across the state. You have a fan. Hey, Matt Solomon co-wrote The Giant Smugglers with Chris Pauls about the Richland Center. Our hometown, my hometown. So you're a novelist, a writer, and published author as well, in book form with our good friend Chris Pauls.
That's correct. Chris and I have co-written two books together, The Giant Smugglers, which indeed is set, a large part of the book is set in Richland Center, and we spent a lot of time in Richland Center researching that, easier for Chris because he grew up there.
Right.
We also did a book called Deck Z, which was a reimagining of the sinking of the Titanic as if it were caused by zombies. That came out in 2012. We initially pitched it as a comedy book, and the publisher was like, "We love it, but we want you to go straight up horror with this." And we're like, "Okay, well, we'll give it a go." And it's crazy. That book ended up being targeted at young adults, and it, like, every year around Halloween for a good decade, at the school book fairs, kids ordered up some Deck Z.
That's incredible. Matt Solomon, you can find him at cracked.com. He is a comedy columnist and also former Onion contributing writer. Matt, thank you so much for being with us today. Really, really appreciate it.
Yep, you bet.
Be back with us tomorrow. Stay tuned now. Matt Flynn Direct is next across the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging on your drum.